Rachel Joyce is well known in England as a writer of plays for the BBC Radio 4. Joyce moved to writing after a 20-year career in theatre and television, performing leading roles for the Royal Shakespeare Company, the Royal National Theatre, and more. She currently lives in Gloucestershire with her family and is at work on her second novel. Today, we'll speak with her about her popular first book, The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. Welcome, Rachel, and thanks so much for joining us on the Book Report.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be here.
The Pilgrimage of Harold Fry started off as a play you wrote, and you said it was for your father. How so?
It was a play I began a very long time, well, it's about 7 years ago, 8 years ago now, for my dad when he told me that he was dying. And he'd gone through various operations, and we'd hoped that he was over it, and then the surgeons told him there was nothing else that could be done. And so it was around that time I began writing it, but I have to say I didn't tell my dad that I was doing it, and I think if he'd known, he'd have been, in a very English way, extremely embarrassed. But I think looking back, it was just my way of sort of sorting out the way that I felt. And also it's quite a wild feeling, and I think I was trying to make it in sometimes trying to make it beautiful, sometimes trying to make it funny, and sometimes just trying to express things about life in that quite raw state that you find yourself in when you lose someone you love.
Can you introduce our listeners to your story by telling us a little about the main characters, Harold, his wife Maureen, their son David, and of course Queenie?
Harold and Maureen Fry live in Kingsbridge, which is South Devon, and they live really a very ordinary, quite suburban life. With net curtains at the windows, and they don't really speak to one another very much, and when they do, it's sort of in clichés. And it's a tired marriage. But at the centre of it, there is a very deep tragedy that hasn't been spoken about and hasn't been dealt with. And the book is really about how Harold, in walking out of his home, also paves the way, sort of to continue that thought, for repair. So Harold is walking to this very old friend Queenie, whom he hasn't seen for 20 years, and again, we don't know why he would do such a thing. And Maureen, his wife, is left behind, thinking originally that he'd just gone to post a letter. And within the confines of her home, she too goes on a very big journey. But the point for me is that they're both very ordinary people who are experiencing extraordinary things, but in small ways.
Would you think it's fair to say that Harry sets out on a journey to save Queenie from cancer, but it's also an escape from a very sterile life?
I do think that's what it is. But I think sometimes, just as when I started to write the book, I didn't know maybe, you know, everything that it was about or everything I was trying to say. In the same way, when Harold sets off on that journey, I think sometimes stories happen because they have to happen, but you don't always know why they have to happen, and certainly the protagonists don't know why. So I think, yes, Harold has to make a change. Something has to change. And in putting his feet on the ground and walking, he does set about a very, very big change, which isn't just physical. It becomes emotional and into the past.
You write that Harold was between places, that he had to get out of the city to have his thoughts begin again. Must all of us journey away from the everyday to gain perspective?
Sometimes people ask me things about the book, and I feel very loath to tell anybody how I think they should, you know, how they think they should live their life. But for me, I think that sometimes when I step out of the house, I don't have my stuff anymore. And I think when you don't have your stuff, you become quite humble, really. I mean, I'm not saying that I think I'm an arrogant person at all, but I mean, you become humble in the sense that you really think and you are the thing that you are, and you're not, you know, you haven't got all the things that we carry with us sometimes, to the apparel. So yes, I think for me it's sort of in walking away that you can sometimes find a bit of clarity and time to reflect, and it's easier to do that when there's less around to look at. You know, I find in cities I just get dazzled by buildings and shops and people, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but I think it's also great when you have freedom from them.
What is it about Harold that makes him so accepting of strangeness of others?
I think for me it's because he recognises he's an ordinary man and he's a humble man. And he's also, what I discovered as I wrote the book was that he's what I call a passerby. He doesn't really belong. And I think if you don't belong, it's easier for people to open up to you. And then Harold's journey sort of becomes realizing that when people open up, you can't forget that. You carry it with you. And sometimes that's a sort of source of joy. And sometimes for him, it becomes a terrible weight. Because when you know about people's sorrow, you can't just shuffle it off.
I wonder if when you began to write the book, you knew that there Harold would attract a crowd and have a crowd walk with him for a bit.
No, I didn't really. And the irony is that I wrote that sort of big section, which really tickled me, the idea that he would unwittingly, this sort of quite ordinary retired man, become the sort of center of social media and things he didn't really understand. But I didn't foresee at all that that Harold's story would have the impact that it seems to have done. And I didn't really know how it would sort of work outside England. I mean, it just seemed so personal to me, and it seemed a story that I really wanted to write. That was really all I saw.
You've written, beginning could happen more than once or in different ways. Tell us more about that.
Oh, I'm intrigued by that idea that we often think, as Harold does, he thinks he's making a start, and then you make a start and you realise, well, I made a start, but I think I've got to make another start now. You know, a start doesn't necessarily mean that you're on the path to an end. It might just mean that you're on a path to a sort of sideways another beginning. I don't know quite how to express it any other way, but just that it seems to me life is full of many different paths and we have to keep looking at them.
Have readers sort of told you how much, when you write about grief, how that particularly resonates with them?
I've had a lot of people write to me, or I've met quite a few people, and it's been really moving.
Yeah.
And that was a side of it I didn't anticipate at all.
But yet, readers, I want to let you know the book has a very uplifting ending.
It does. For me, it does. But that's also just, I mean, it's how I saw that story. And I think it's probably how I see people. I think we do want to connect up.
Yes. Your book was long listed for the 2012 Man Booker Prize. What was that like for you, your first novel?
It was extraordinary because it didn't even occur to me that it would be. So I think I was out with the children doing some shopping for the holidays or something, and then suddenly I was called and told, and it's an extraordinary thing, and it seemed, I thought it was a huge honour.
Yes. I know you're at work on your second book. Can you talk a little bit about that?
The trouble is that if I start talking, you probably won't finish this interview because I'm so far in it. I mean, I'm absolutely full of it. But I was at the publishers in England the other day, and they showed me the strap line for the book, which they have. And it's always odd seeing a strap line, or for me it is, because I don't think in those ways. But the one that they used was, in 1972, 2 seconds were added to time. Were they to blame for what happened next?
I'm intrigued. Is there a working title for this book? Readers, I want to let you know this is a wonderfully moving book, and you'll leave it, I think, with a happier heart. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.